Okay, good morning. If you could take your seats, that'd be great. Thank you. Well, welcome to church today on Australia Day. Good to see you. And it's all pretty casual today. First time I've wore shorts to church in, I don't know, since I was about 15, I reckon. So that's a long, long time. And gee, it feels good. We should do it more often. Nothing more Australian than wearing pluggers and kicking back and relaxing and enjoying the day. So welcome to church today. All of our activities are kicked back in again for the year. Youth are starting on Friday night. Our Connect groups start Tuesday night. We're doing a potluck dinner on Tuesday night. So be a good deal if you're involved in your Connect group. If you're not yet involved in a Connect group, we've got a sign-on area down the back of the hall, right in front of the sound desk area. Someone will help you down there straight after the service. We've got clipboards with all the different Connect groups that we run. We'd love for you and your family to find one to attend at a home near you in a suburb near you. So go and sign up straight after the service, and that'll be great. Starts Tuesday night. We're doing potluck dinners. Your leader will let you know what's entailed for that. Potluck simply means bring your own and share. So bring your best meal and share it with others on the night to kick off Connect groups for the year. We're also continuing, as Josh referenced, our bushfire appeal in terms of supporting those that have been affected by the bushfires right across Australia. And that offering will be open until at least the end of this month. If it keeps coming in, that's fine. We'll disperse that money towards the ACC, the Australian Christian Church's bushfire appeal, going to support those that are in need at this time. And if you are giving towards that, the giving happens through Impact Care Services. We run two different companies or arms. We have our church, Impact Church, and then Impact Care Services is our charity. Any gifts there, $2 and above, are tax deductible if you give us your name. And also, if we've got your address, that's all we need, just your name. When you give that online or any other method, that would be amazing. So dig deep in terms of that. That would be good. Congratulations. We congratulated Richard and Candace a few weeks ago. I don't think Richie was here, so I want to say it again. Richie, we congratulated you and Candace on the arrival of Lachlan a few weeks ago, and what a good deal that is. The church is growing. It's slow, but it's growing one at a time. And, of course, Josh and Tamara with the arrival of beautiful Grayson this week. Why don't you welcome and congratulate them also. Once again, good job. Well done. That's sort of the command of God, you know, go forth and multiply. Turn to your neighbor and say, multiply, multiply. Procreation, that's God's plan. That's His plan. Good deal. Our Leaders Equip Night is coming up for all of our leaders and volunteers and those that are on team. That's on in a couple of weeks' time, if you could just make a note of that. It was on church news, just be aware that's coming up. First one for the year where I get an opportunity to speak into the vision and the heart of who we are as a church. But today's Australia Day, and I get a pie on stage. I can't believe this. There's nothing more Australian than a meat pie, is there? Well, the sauce is coming. And there's nothing more Australian than a meat pie. How do you do? Who gave me a fancy tomato sauce thing? Like, seriously. How do I do this thing? What's going on with that? Twist it. No? Squeeze it. It's going to pop. Can you work that out for me, please? Thank you. Like, don't give me anything too complicated when I'm in front of people. Give me a bottle that I squeeze. And I've got some lamingtons here, and I've got a knife and fork. Who eats their pies with a knife and fork? Anybody? Is that wrong? Is that not kosher? I eat everything with a knife and fork. I eat pizza with a knife and fork. Who eats pizza with a knife and fork? It's like, who even are you people? I thought it was an Australian thing to do. Well, that's not Australian. I know this is. Pick it up and look at the size of that pie. I think there's enough to... Well, I do want my sauce, but I can't squeeze the thing. How do I do that? Happy Australia Day, by the way. Ah, oh, look at that. There's a little smiley face. Beautiful. Thank you. Who's jealous? Who would like some of my pie? Oh, gee, it's going to go everywhere. Oh. Sermon done. I reckon. Been fasting all week. If I've been fasting all week, you can put up with this. Who else fasted? On what? It's a very un-Australian thing to do, to share your pie. That's so good. I'm eating that because I've really got nothing to say today. There is a bit of rain passing, but don't fret. You will get your opportunity on the jumping castle. It'll still be okay. It will pass very, very shortly. What do you love about Australia? Meat pies. Kangaroos. I don't love kangaroos at all. Kangaroos. If you don't know why I don't love them, I hit one just the other day in a car I'd just purchased. Just crazy. So kangaroos are off my list. Don't love that about Australia. Bush pies. Kangaroos. Holden cars. What else? The beaches. Pluggers. All the Kiwis have come here. I love the way we shorten everybody's name. I love the way we mess up everyone's name. Doesn't matter what your name is, we're going to play with it. We're going to give you a nickname. We're going to call you what we want to call you. That's what we do in Australia. That's how we do it. Love our beaches, love our climate, love our weather. Love our footy, yeah. What else do you love about Australia? Snags. Love the cricket, lamb on the barbecue, bit of Sam Kekovich. Good deal. What else do you love? Who? Laid back vibes. Just like you right now, Richie. Laid back vibes. Love the flies. What else do we love? The music, Uluru, Sydney Harbour Bridge, the Opera House, Mangoes, Hugh Jackman, Tim Tams, Peter Allen, Qantas. What else do we love? What do we love? Come on, what do you love about Australia? People, love the people, love the rain. Sunburned country, cockroaches. No, we don't love those New South Wales people. Cockroaches, we love that. What about beetroot? Is beetroot Australian? It's good, isn't it? Beetroot. A lot of good things to love about Australia. What a great place to live. If you don't love Australia, just travel a bit. I'm telling you, just travel a bit. Just get out about and go and visit the world and come back and tell us how much you love this land, because this is a great place to live. It's a God-blessed country. And, of course, today is Australia Day, and it's a day of great national pride today, Australia Day, right across our nation. One of the things I love very much about our land is the conglomerate of nationalities and peoples that we have that call Australia home. And in our region here of Logan City, very much so, we have people from all nations, and we're one of the most multicultural cities in all of the world right here at our doorstep. And I love the fact that people come to this nation now in modern Australia and can call it home no matter where they're from and abide by the shared values that we share. I'm going to talk about those in a few moments, that we share together as a nation. There's a lot of good things to love about this place called Australia. So today is a day of great national pride. That's why we're wearing our get-up and our garb, and people are celebrating today for all the peoples that call Australia home. Not only is it a day of great national pride, it's also a day of great national pain for many people in our nation, because our history, as you know, has a very dark side to it way back in the beginnings. And many of us can feel like, well, what's that to do with me? I mean, here we are in a modern Australia that has progressed from its roots of colonisation that happened a long time ago. And what is all of that conflict to do with me? And I think that what we need to understand in modern Australia is we do have a very dark side in our history when Australia's first inhabitants had their land stolen from them. That's a fact. It's happened all over the world. All over the world, countries and nations have been taken over time and time again. And unfortunately, it happened in our land here many, many years ago when the first inhabitants, the Aboriginals and the Thursday Islanders, the Torres Strait Islander peoples, had the land taken away from them. At the time, they possessed a very unique culture full of traditions that were among, it's recorded, the most old, oldest of cultures within the world, right here on our land. So it's a very sad day for many of our First Nations people, and we need to understand we owe them a tremendous debt and a lot of respect. A lot of respect today as we celebrate Australia Day. Now, whatever your view on the past is, because we have mixed views and emotions about all of that, whatever your view on the past is, one thing's for sure, the past is important because it points us to our heritage. And heritage is really important for a family. It's important for a nation, for any people group. Heritage is extremely important because it's kind of like our self-determination flows out of that. How we see ourselves, how we perceive ourselves, how we be is according to the heritage that's kind of stamped on our past. It becomes our map for life. It's how we think. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 23:7. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. So a lot of our posture, a lot of our disposition, a lot of our behavior, a lot of our attitude comes and flows from our past, and we're linked to that whether we like that or not. I happen to believe, and I know you do today, that God has significant plans for our nation, and particularly in what we term in the church the last days, which has been going on for a long time, the last days. I believe God's got significant plans for our nation, and we should be very proud of our nation. We're not perfect, but I'm very proud of our nation. I love Australia. I still call Australia home, and I love everything that this nation represents, and I personally believe we're a very, very blessed, fortunate people. You know, our nation was chosen by man a long time ago to have a particular purpose, but God also ordained prior to that in his own mind and declared that to us through what the church calls prophecies, which are people speaking of the future in the present. And people spoke of what they saw this land to be. And I believe God has ordained Australia for greatness and blessing and favour. And so today, I want to speak briefly about our beginnings. I want to speak about God's preordained purpose. And I want to speak about what I think we need today across our land. Firstly, our beginnings. You know, the beginnings of Australia are well documented. This is not a history lesson, but they're well documented for all of us to read and glean and learn from. But we were originally framed as a land that would become the rubbish dump for the peoples of the world that England did not want. They sent convicts to this land who were prisoners who were sent here for a term. Some of them found themselves here for the term of their natural life. New land was chosen by England for their colonisation plan and strategy, and we were to become the largest penal colony in the world, or the known world at that time. Captain Arthur Phillip arrived with the first fleet of convicts in 1788 with 11 ships carrying 750 convicts. Over the next 32 years, 30,000 convicts were sent to Australia to serve their time. And so we became a land for the discarded, a land for the unwanted, a land for the despised, and they become the foundation building blocks along with the original First Nation peoples for our nation to become what it is today. Little did British and England know that this land that they destined to be a rubbish dump was destined by God to become something much greater than that, much more beautiful than just a place to dump people. It was to become a place that would be a refreshing spring for the world. You know, the nature of God, it's to take things that are considered worthless, people that are considered useless and are of little value, and to turn them into something beautiful, something good. Turn to your neighbour and say, g'day beautiful. G'day beautiful. That's what God's done for all of us. He's made us beautiful. He's made us something good. He's made us someone significant when we didn't feel like it.
We were lost. We didn't have a great deal going on, and God has ransomed and rescued us. The Bible says that God calls things into being through his word. It says this in Romans 4:17. It says he's the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. And that's what I believe God is doing for our nation. So our beginnings of white colonized Australia were not pretty. They were not great. They were not wonderful. But in all of that, God had a plan. And God's preordained purpose, my second thought, God's preordained purpose was that this great land would become something much more than what England ever thought it would be. They thought we would be a rubbish dump for those that they didn't want. But God looked at us as a nation for refreshing and a nation for revival and a nation for significance. A place where people could come from any corner of the earth, live peacefully and be treated equally and love their neighbour as they love themselves. That's how God saw this land. Well before settlement by the British, Spanish sailors were spotted off the coast of our land. Four Spanish ships. They left Spain in 1605 to evangelize. It was a mission for them. They had come to evangelize the unfound great land of the south, or unfound in their mind. For our First Nations people, they never knew they were lost. They were here for a long, long time. Just saying. Some say up to 60,000 years their culture was well entrenched and well established before others came to find them. And it says that Spanish ships came in 1605 to evangelize this unfound land. There was, at the time, across the world, a general belief that there was this mystical land called, they named it Terra Australis, a great unknown southern land. The commander of the trip and the commander of the ships was a man called Pedro Fernandez de Quirios. He was a Spanish Christian sailor, sea captain. And he named our land Terra Australis del Espíritu Santo. Forgive my Spanish. Which means the great south land of the Holy Spirit. And all of the Pacific Islands and surrounding islands. What a beautiful name to give a land. What a beautiful name to give a country. Have you ever been to Tasmania? There's a little place in Tasmania called Nowhere. And there's another place called Beyond Nowhere. And I don't know whether you've ever been to Nowhere, but what a crazy name to call a place. Like, where do you live? Nowhere. Imagine having that conversation with somebody. I love the fact that they just didn't call this land Nowhere, but they called it the Great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Let me read this. It says this, sailing into the waters of the South Pacific and sighting land, Captain de Quirios took possession, calling the land the South Land of the Holy Spirit. His proclamation was as follows. Let the heavens, let the earth, let the waters and all their creatures and all those here present witness that I, Captain Pedro Fernandez de Quirios, in the name of Jesus Christ, I hoist this emblem of the Holy Cross on which his son Jesus Christ's person was crucified and whereon he gave his life for the ransom and remedy of all the human race on this day of Pentecost. 14th of May, 1606, I take possession of all this part of the south as far as the pole in the name of Jesus, which from now on shall be called the southern land of the Holy Ghost. And to the end that all, and to the end that to all natives in all the said lands and the holy sacred evangel may be preached zealously and openly. He was a man on a mission. He was a missionary, was what he was, disguised as a sea captain. Now, the Spaniards never actually claimed the land. That was left, as we know, to Captain Cook in 1770. But they did have a tremendous vision for the future of this land. Long before England colonized the land as a human refuge place, God ordained it as a land for the Holy Spirit. He ordained it as a divine land. Now the Spaniards, Christian influence caused them to see our land as a mission field ripe for harvest, a land that God would one day touch with his Holy Spirit in an unprecedented way. Man saw us as a rubbish dump. God saw us as a place of refreshing springs for people and the Spirit of God being poured out on its people. The question in my mind is posed, was it any coincidence that the Spaniards tagged Australia as the Great South Land of the Holy Spirit? I mean, what's the significance in a name, in that title? I believe the name is prophetic. I believe the name is a picture of the intent of God towards what this nation's future would look like and could be. That this nation really would be the blessed country, not only the lucky country. I don't want to live just in a lucky country. I want to live in a blessed country. I just don't want to be lucky. I want to be blessed. How many of you know there's a big difference between being lucky and being blessed? Having the favor and the goodness and the presence of God on you is far greater than having a little bit of luck happen to you every now and then. So Captain Quirios, his vision for Australia was this. Listen to this. This is amazing. This was the vision he had for Australia. It says, Quirios was about to die. He sought strength in depicting his will in the vision that he had seen and that he had made for his life, the vision of the land of the Holy Spirit in the south. He said, this land is to be very different from the Spanish colonies in America, where Spanish falcons have grasped the people with cruel talons, and with fierce and sharp beaks they tear them into thousands of pieces. It's money. I say it's money they want, and more money. Though it be torn from men's entrails, money is all they want. In the new land of the south, Spaniards are not to be falcons, but pelicans, who first tear their own flesh and so feed their spiritual children with pure and clean love. Thus, Australia of the Holy Spirit will be a nest without brambles, nor any other kind of thorn, refuges and pleasant abiding places where will be plenty for all. Its people will do works that are honourable and beautiful, and God and His Majesty will be served in all of these regions, and the natives will be made to prosper as is just and right, and this will be my reward. What a beautiful vision De Quirios had for the nation of Australia. A place where all peoples could come together. A place where our First Nations people would be looked after. A place where we could flourish together in life. De Quirios was not the only one that had a great vision for Australia. There was a man that visited Australia who was renowned to being the most famous evangelist ever in terms of church circles. In 1921, his name was Smith Wigglesworth. And he had a prophecy that he declared over the nation of Australia that in the last days, Australia would see a great revival of God's Spirit in the last days. He said what he saw in a picture form, he saw flames of fire burning all over Australia. Now, that's a little bit too literal for us right now, as we've got flames burning all over Australia. But he saw flames representing the torch of God and the fire of the Holy Spirit burning all across our nation, a nation revived by the Holy Spirit. So that's what I want to speak into as we close today. I want to speak into what we need today as a nation. I believe what we need is what God's promised us. I believe what we need is what God has promised us, which is that in the last days that this place, this land, would see God's Spirit poured out on us in a powerful way. Our nation needs to see an awakening. Our nation needs to see a revival where all people are brought together of equal value, respected. All people are given the same posture and place in our society, where people come together to be one for one, is what I believe we need to see. What does that even look like for us? What does that even look like for us? Years ago, when Peter Costello was in the Australian government, they put together a plan to have new citizens understand the values of Australia. They called them shared values. So if you were to become an Australian citizen and went to a citizenship training, they used to do training, and then they'd do a citizen ceremony where you'd receive your citizenship. They'd give you a little booklet which explained very clearly what the values of Australia were. And they were shared values, common values. And it was expected, and you signed, to say that as a new citizen of Australia, you would abide by these. Now, my wife, Cheryl, went to one of these because she is from the motherland.
And so she came out when she was about 6 years of age on one of those convict boats. And literally, I mean, I think in that day when Cheryl sailed out with her family, it was, how many weeks did it take? 6 weeks rowing. 6 weeks it took to come out on a boat, $10 pom they called them, Cheryl and her family came out that way. And so for a lot of years she wasn't a citizen. Then she got married to me, and like, if you're going to stay married to me, you better become Aussie, you know, because that's just the way it is. So Cheryl decided off her own boat without any reference to me to become an Australian citizen, and did that and became an Australian citizen. And so went through all that process, and I was amazed at the values that they spoke about, because I've grown up here and I didn't know the values. I just was born here. I just grew up feeling the values. It's one thing to know them. It's another thing to see them modelled. I saw them modelled, but I didn't have anyone articulate them particularly for me. And I think a lot of us here in this room today, we appreciate the values, but we may not even know what the values are. We live in it and we enjoy it and can spot it every now and then, but we don't particularly know the definition of what the Australian values are. I want to list for you what the Australian stated share values are for new citizens. Number one, respect for equal worth, dignity and freedom of the individual. Equal worth, dignity and freedom of the individual. Freedom of speech is one of our shared values. Freedom of association, freedom of religion and secular government, support for parliamentary democracy and rule of law, equality under the law, equality under the law for every person in our land, equality of men and women in our land. It's a stated value in our nation. Equality of opportunity, regardless of your race, religion or ethnic background. A spirit of egalitarianism. Big word. It means equal in all things. So a spirit of egalitarianism, mutual respect, tolerance, fair play and compassion for those in need. So one of our shared values. And the pursuit of public good. Now you can't legislate those values, because as we know, many people have become citizens and they're still naughty. They still don't play by the rules. They don't share. What should we do with these people? Should we send them back? Should we reverse the complement of convict strategy and put them on boats and send them back if they don't share the values? Because values are meant to be shared. Shared values is what these are. Now, you can't legislate them. And you can't deal with everyone every time there's a breach of value. But values need to be modelled. They need to be visible. They need to be taught and they need to be transferred to other people. The gospel of Jesus Christ also has values. Values very similar to what our shared values are as a nation. I want to read a few of them to you. Matthew 7, verse 12 says this. Jesus said, "Here is a simple rule of thumb and guide for behavior. Ask what you want people to do for you and then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get." In other words, the greatest rule, it's called the golden rule, and many of you would know it as, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. So treat each other with respect, and you get respect back. And so that's a golden rule. That's a value in the kingdom of God. Another one is Galatians 3:28, which I love. It's this whole egalitarian thought where it says, in God's family, in Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew and non-Jew, slave and free, male or female. Among us, you're all equal. That is, we are all in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. I love the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings us all onto an even platform. And it's really the most inclusive message in our society today. There's no divisions. It's all about the equality of humans in this family of God, which has a culture of acceptance, a culture of embracing, a culture of non-exclusion and non-prejudice,
Prejudice and exclusion are foreign to God's family and culture. We accept and we embrace all people from all nations. The good news is actually for anybody, any time. It's for everybody. It's what the good news is for. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. It didn't say, for God love all you white fellas. It didn't say that. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Or verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God loves the world. God created all the world. All of us, red, yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. I learned it when I was in Sunday school. I never want to forget it as an adult. Doesn't matter where you come from, you're equal. In the family of God and in our nation here, it's one of our stated values. I think what we need in these days across our land is we need the church to embrace our place in the nation. That's what I think. This is what I think Smith Wigglesworth saw. This is what I think Wigglesworth saw. This is what De Quirios saw. He saw a land where the church of God would flourish and be blessed by the Holy Spirit. And so when I pray for revival and an awakening, what I pray for is I pray to see a church, and I pray to see churches, and I pray to see a land saturated with churches that would burn brightly with the light of the gospel of Jesus, where people would come to church and be engaged, where people would come to church and contribute, where people would come to church and invest their lives in building the one thing that God has invested himself in this world, which is building the church. And out of that, that the church would not be just some little club that plays games in and of itself and for itself, but that the church would open itself up to live a wide open expansive life, that we would understand we are here to help people, we are here to serve people, we are here to love people, we are here to honor people, we are here to respect people. We're not here to preach what we're against, we're here to preach what we are for, that the family of God is for everybody. That's what we're here for, that we are here to be useful. We're not here to be tucked away in a corner, we're here to let our light shine. Jesus said, you are the light set on a hill. Shine brightly. That's what we're here for. So the revival I'm praying for is not some mystical thing where the Holy Spirit will come and do something that we have nothing to do with. The revival I'm praying for is the revival I can be involved in as I lean into the house of God, the heart of God, and the presence of God, as I live my best and give my best and move life forward, that this land would see something significant happen like Smith Wigglesworth saw when he saw a land ablaze full of the Holy Spirit, where Pedro de Quirios saw this land as a mission field ripe for harvest, where people could live with dignity, where people could live with respect, where our sons and daughters could play in the street and it's safe. Do you remember the days when you grew up as a kid, if you're 50 years of age and plus, and you played in everybody's neighborhood? You just played right across the whole street. Mum would come on the veranda and scream at you for dinner when dinner's ready. God help you if you didn't come home on time. You got the jug cord. Discipline was brutal in those days. It really was. It really was. As a matter of fact, when you talk about discipline, anyone in the neighborhood could discipline you. Everyone was your mother. We believed in like a village concept of raising a kid. So you dare not give someone else's mum cheek, because you'd get the wooden spoon from her and she'd tell your mum, and then you'd get it from your mum also. You just lost all round in those days. Oh, dear me. Memories. Why don't you stand to your feet? I love Australia. I love the characters of Australia. I love all the colours of our land. I love the church across our land. I love the church in all of its different flavours. I don't care whether they wear a little white thing here. In actual fact, I want to get one of those. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether you've got to be Anglican. Merv, you might know. Is it Anglican that wear the little white things? I don't. Yeah, I know Anglicans do too. Yeah, Catholic do too. But I want to wear one. Because, like, no one knows I'm a pastor when I dress like this. I want to walk into a room and they know, you know. I reckon they look smart. I don't care what sort of church it is. If they're preaching Jesus Christ, I want to cheer them on. Cheer them on. I want to see the church stand up across our nation. I want to see people come to church because they want to come to church and love coming to church and want to be a part of the church and want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to see people that have a conviction about the way they're called to live. I want to see people that
want to know God and hunger for his presence and hunger for the word of God and the Holy Spirit. And I think that's revival. That's what I think revival. I think revival has very little to do with feeling good and tingles up and down your arm and dancing around and flying flags. If you don't know what I mean by that, you just don't know. Don't worry about it. It's all right. I think revival's got a whole lot to do with my heart for God. And I think if the church can get there, then we could see something significant happen in our nation. But I think the major calling on the church is this, is break down the walls, break down the barriers, and love people, and serve people, and help people, and get involved with people, the people that you work with, the people around your neighborhood, the people in your clubs, and get involved, and just do good works. Do good works. Can you throw up my last couple of scriptures there for me, if you would, please? I think it's Matthew 8:14. Let's go there. Yeah, 5:14. That's right. Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. Next one. Oh, no. I'll take it from here. You are the light of the world, a city set on the hill that cannot be hidden. Next one. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Notice this, so they may see your good works and give glory to the Father. I think we need a revival in that. I think we need a revival in just being good and doing good. So this Australia Day, why don't you make that your heart for our land? Why don't you do that? We're going to finish our service today and play an old song, which is a good song. And I'd love to sing it, but it's much better if somebody else sings it. So we're going to invite Jeff Bullock to sing it and enjoy the scenery. And then I'm going to come back and pray.